Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Welcome in another day of the Hassan Hour. Send it in, bet slips and bat flips with the same person, which would be me, Jake Hassan, at Jake double underscore Hassan on Twitter, by the way. And the BetMGM Network, which you can find on Twitch, on YouTube, on Twitter, where we promote this lovely program, the lovely program known as Bet Slips and Bat Flips as well, in the second half of this hour, and all of our shows here on the BetMGM Network. The Daily Tip. Bet sweats. You better you bet. Bet MGM tonight. But for now, this is Send It In for the next half hour. Going to hit everything with you. Hockey, NBA, NHL, which is also hockey. Just repeating myself. Really good job, Jake. This is only your job. Baseball, of course, in the second half of the hour. We're actually going to do some soccer and some golf today as well. But let's not belabor the point. Let's get right into it. Let's go right to the Glasser guest line. And today's first guest of two that we have on the Glasser guest line. You know her. You love her. She is a frequent friend of the program. Casey Hudson joins us on Send It In today. Nesson Hockey Hub host and reporter. Follow Casey on Twitter at the sports case. Case spelled, of course, K-A-S-E. Casey, hello. This is the first time we've actually talked without me booking you for a show and actually me hosting. So thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
I know. I love having you on the other side. And mentioning hockey twice is totally fine because it's the best postseason out of all professional sports. So for the emphasis of dramatics, say it twice, say it three times, if you will.
Yeah, I haven't mentioned that Let's Do That Hockey, which I think is you are contractually obligated to say when talking about the NHL and especially the playoffs. But it's been awesome so far. Like you said, one of, if not the best playoff formats and playoffs in all of sports. It's been awesome up to this point. A lot of really exciting series. And we got off to a hot start yesterday, too, with the Toronto Maple Leafs holding on, beating the Florida Panthers. I was on the Panthers, so hand up. It be like that. Some you win some, you lose some. But the Maple Leafs continue to look like a team that maybe has finally shaken the monkey off their back, Casey. And obviously, the goal injury, Stolarz leaves the game, and we don't know what's going to happen with that yet. Assume he's going to miss at least a couple of games, because when you're vomiting on the bench, it's probably not a great situation. But the Leafs hang on. They take a 1-0 lead over the Panthers, who were favored to win the cup going into that game. So just your reaction from last night, how do you look at the Leafs going forward, especially assuming that their starting goalie is going to miss at least a couple of games, if not the rest of the postseason?
Yeah, well, I was right there with you, Jake. I thought that the Panthers were going to come in and have more of a commanding presence and game. And yeah, they tried to inch their way back in there towards the end. But I will say I wasn't one of those people that didn't give enough credit to the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're one of those teams over the past five seasons that have just had to kind of make these small changes. It started with the back end. They strengthened their back end and their blue line. Then it started with being a little bit more physical. They found players that had the ability to play more two-way hockey. And then you've got your core four. As long as they show up, then you've got a game here. So with the Panthers, I gave them the edge because they've got more of a depth scoring to the eye. When you look at the stat sheet, you see, you know, four lines that can really contribute and move, especially their third line. I've been a big fan of Lundell and Lucarin in a number of ways because they've been super clutch in the postseason, and especially focusing on Lundell for a second. He's such a hockey IQ guy, so he can see things and make things happen in a moment. He's one of your key playmakers in a postseason, in my personal opinion, when your top line or your top six get tied up. But with all of that being said, you've got a Toronto Maple Leafs team that does not blink when it comes to taking the shot. And you kind of saw Bobrovsky look not that great last night, regardless of him going against skilled forwards. He was coming out of his crease a lot. He started to lean into those uncharacteristic traits that we saw the Oilers kind of make him do in the final last year. So if the Maple Leafs are consistent in the sense to where they're loading up on shots, they're not overthinking it, they're getting some timely one-timers out there or just quick decisions, and they're consistently applying pressure and peppering Bobrovsky, we're going to be in for a long series, and the Maple Leafs will have an opportunity here to kind of edge out the Florida Panthers team. Something else they did very well, and they talked about it on the broadcast, they didn't play into the bait of making that a super physical game. Whenever the Panthers tried to get dirty, they ignored it, they skated off, they went to their next shift, and they focused forward. So they have some abilities here to kind of mentally outplay the Panthers if the Panthers' only cue is to be physical and kind of lose the structure of their game.
Casey, let's talk about the goalie situation with the Leafs. Obviously, Anthony Stolarz leaves the game yesterday. Joseph Woll comes in, and I think a lot of people are going to look at this situation and say, oh, well, backup goalie, you just bet the Panthers. But Joseph Woll is probably one of the better backup goalies, could probably start elsewhere in the league. So tell us a little bit about this situation with the Leafs and a little bit about Joseph Woll and maybe why he could keep them in this series.
Yeah, well, like you said, it's concerning when Stolarz goes out, especially vomiting, because that's going to put him in a concussion protocol for a pretty extended amount of time. But let's not forget, I mean, we had a viral video of Woll playing Interstellar on the piano after he was coming up strong between the pipes in the postseason last year. So he's rose to the occasion a few times for this Toronto Maple Leafs team, and we've seen him have significant plays. Let's also consider the fact that Woll has had to deal with a number of his own injuries, that whenever his play is kind of sunk, it's kind of contributed to the fact that he was working through some things. So I feel like this is a guy that the team rallied behind in the last postseason. I feel like he just hasn't had the full opportunity, and maybe he didn't look that great last night when he did get the tap, but considering the timing, considering the drama surrounding everything, he's one of those guys that has a really keen mental focus. So I feel like the Toronto Maple Leafs can do enough in front of him. And when you have a guy like Chris Tanev on your blue line, like, let's just talk about the fact that he's been a difference maker on every roster that he's been on. He was stout for the Stars, and he's had big moments and a goal last night. So I think that as long as the defense plays structurally in front of Woll, we can see Woll rise to the occasion and be a better goaltender for this Maple Leafs team.
Casey, let's start to talk about tonight, because we do have a couple of games, and I want to start with, I think, what everyone's ready to call the team of destiny and Alexander Ovechkin and the Washington Capitals. But we've seen the line move in the Carolina Hurricanes' favor, and I want to ask you, because the Hurricanes have just kind of been sitting around waiting to find out who they were going to play. They ended their series with the Devils very early, and now they've been sitting around, and it's always the rest versus rust debate. But now tonight, finally, the Hurricanes go against the Caps, and we've seen line moving on the Hurricanes. How do you see this game playing out, and how do you see this series go?
I'll start by saying, because I have no problem admitting when I'm wrong, y'all, I kind of underestimated what the Canes were going to do. And a number of that came because of the fact of, like, the spotty goaltending throughout the season was one thing, and some of those, like, big games down the stretch, you just kind of seeing some inconsistency. But I think it was them kind of finding and solidifying their identity. At the end of the day, heading into this matchup, they have 12 contributing goal scorers in comparison to the Capitals' 8 contributing goal scorers. And that can look a little alarming, but the best way to slow down a high octane offense and a skilled team is to have that physical element. And the Capitals have the ability to be physical. I kind of track back to 2023 in May when the Panthers took on the Hurricanes. And that was kind of one of the first times throughout the playoffs that the Hurricanes felt such a physical presence, and the Panthers ended up superseding them and moving on. The Capitals have the ability to deliver the same way. Tom Wilson is having a career year, and he's going to probably be a key factor in that sense. But you've got a number of guys that can be equally as physical, equally as smart with the puck, and then on top of that, produce. And then you can't ignore Alex Ovechkin's numbers versus the Hurricanes. Most NHL points versus a team, it's the Hurricanes. So this is a team where he's got their number. And while they might try to isolate him out of the element, they have depth when it comes to the Capitals. I'm really interested to see what takes place with Alexei Protas. He was a guy that filled in when Ovechkin went down with that injury. He's also having a career season, and we haven't really had a chance to see the glimmer of what his postseason looks like, but I think he can bring in some depth on that bottom six. So I feel like it's going to be closer and more interesting than we're giving credit to. And let's not forget, Logan Thompson was paid to be one of the top goalies, and he's expected to perform. We saw him come up with a lot of key saves, and the Canadiens were kind of relentless with some shots on goal, so they know how to weather some of those attacks. They're going to have to limit some of those passing lanes versus the Hurricanes, but I think this is going to be a lot closer than credited for.
Are we going to see Tom Wilson start more fights on the bench in this one?
He's got to be smart. You don't want to put a team like the Hurricanes on the power play consistently. That's for sure. So I think he's going to pick and choose his moments. But if he can have those ideal clean hits, rattle them up a little bit, then I think that that's something that's going to play favorably. Because when you come up with those timely hits, you're also pushing your player off the puck. So you're creating turnover chances. And if you do that in the right zone, then you're setting your team up for success. And I think Wilson has gotten smarter in the sense of not just being a one-man wrecking ball, but, you know, putting his team in the best position possible when it comes to power play opportunities and penalty kill moments.
We are talking to Casey Hudson. You know her from NESN. Also follow her on Twitter at the Sports Case, K-A-S-E, talking about all of the hockey action that's going on. Let's talk about the late game tonight, Casey, and Oilers Knights. This game opened a pick, another game that we've seen significant movement on. The Knights have taken some money here. They're about minus 130 favorites now. And my question to you is this a little disrespectful to the Oilers after they were in the final last year, and considering their star power, a lot of people like the Knights. They're a good team. Obviously, they've made it this far. But how do you see this series and how do you see tonight playing out?
Yeah, the Knights freaked me out a little bit going against Minnesota, but I have to say I'm probably one of those that are on the Golden Knights train, and it's no disrespect to Edmonton whatsoever. You said it. They have star power, but they also have a lot of inconsistency. They can't wait to the second and third period to jump into these games, and while they let off a lot of shots, very high-volume team, you just sometimes don't really know where the goals and like where the opportunities are going to come from. I don't see the Vegas Golden Knights ever. I don't see a lot of teams that have the capability of slowing down a McDavid or a Dreisaitl, but there's moments throughout the period where they can contain them and limit them, and then it's like next man up, who's going to get the job done. Defensively, I don't trust Edmonton as much as I would trust the Golden Knights as well, so that's also where you see more of an edge come in. I think Aiden Hill has to take his performance to the next step for this team, but I think between the goal contributors for the Vegas Golden Knights, the defense for the Vegas Golden Knights, and then if Aiden Hill can take that next step, that's probably why there's a bit of an edge there, with no disrespect to Edmonton. But if we've all learned anything, you never count out the Oilers, even if they look terrible on paper.
Let's go to a game one that we have tomorrow. And I think this one is going to have a lot of eyes for a lot of different reasons. First of all, being that you're now Stanley Cup favorites, the Dallas Stars are in this one. And you also have the Jets, who are home underdogs, not unnotably because we don't know what's going on with their goalie. Connor Hellebuck survives barely. His team kind of bails him out in the last series. And obviously we all saw on Sunday night the Blues and Jets game. And that game was awesome and a perfect encapsulation of why playoff hockey is the best, in my opinion. But Casey, how do you view the Jets? Can Hellebuck kind of pull this together? Because when he's on, and we saw this in the Four Nations, when he's on, he's one of the best in the league, if not the best. But you also have a Stars team that's playing really well and knows how to score a lot of goals in a short amount of time. What do you think for this series?
Yeah, I think the hard part is going to be making sure that mentally he doesn't have this whole I'm good at home, I'm good on the road mentality, because that's what his numbers show. At home, on home ice, 2.33 goals against average, but then on the road, you're looking at 5+ goals, and that was very telling versus the Blues team, and the Stars are going to be a different test. So it's hard to say what to make of Hellebuck. I defend him a little bit because there have been moments where his defense has just kind of failed in front of him. You don't need your defense kind of encroaching on your space in an unsmart move while you're trying to clear out traffic and then the puck gets past you. Another thing where the defense just kind of left too much space to a team is that they were getting very deep behind the net. So you've got most of your team behind the net. You've got so much open space in front of you, and then you've got one-on-one opportunities with Hellebuck. So as sharp as he is, there's just been some pivotal moments that have turned on the drop of a dime, and some of that is because of how his defense played in front of him. When it comes to the Stars team, though, it's really scary to think that they pulled off such a victory over what should have been a strong Colorado Avalanche team without two of their star players. And I know everybody's talking about this, but as soon as the series ends, one of the first conversations was that Jason Robertson could potentially be back in the lineup faster than Heskin. And if we see him jump back in, you're talking about a punch to the power play on top of a veteran presence in Tyler Seguin, who knows how to particularly capitalize on the power play. And then, of course, we can't talk about any of this without talking about Mika Rantanen, who has always been a playmaker. I mean, you're talking about a guy that was dishing up apples to one of the best players in the league, being Nathan MacKinnon. So now that they're starting to find that chemistry even more, and now that we've seen that when Mikko Rantanen wants to get the job done, he can get the job done, he's going to be a hard guy to stop. And then considering his frame on top of his playmaking abilities, the Jets are going to have their hands full. And it also comes down to what's Morrissey's status, what's Shifley's status. There's a number of guys on their end, injury-wise, that we have to see if they can rise to the occasion. So Hellebuck's going to have a taller task here. They don't have like as many contributing scorers, but if that front line gets hot for the Stars, then it's going to be a long series.
Casey, do you agree that the Stars are probably, they're the favorites right now? Do you make them, in your mind, the strongest team left in the field right now?
Oh, that's so hard, because if you match up, you know, the Stars and the Jets, you're talking about a Jets team that checked every box from, you know, special teams to even strength ability to, of course, Connor Hellebuck being one of the strongest guys in between the pipes. I think what helps so well for the Dallas Stars is like Wyatt Johnson. You have his speed, you have his capability, you have his contributions, but I feel like they've got a really good blend of like young guys and a veteran presence when it comes to the Stars roster. And you've got a really good blend of just kind of like workhorse mentality hockey players on that roster. So when you're checking the boxes on all their lines, including their captain Jimmy Benn, you're looking at a number of guys that have made it to a Stanley Cup final and kind of just needed that extra push and that extra addition. And I feel like Wyatt Johnson is one of the top guys to kind of have that energy lift and boost for this team. Hintz is just another tough guy who delivers on the ice as well. So I just think between like experience in the postseason and getting to those final rounds, not to say that the Jets haven't had postseason experience, but the Stars have more guys that have had more success in the postseason. And I think it plays out.
Casey Hudson, you know her from Nesson, host, reporter there. Follow her on Twitter at The Sports Case, K-A-S-E. Casey, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jake. Enjoy. And everybody let PJ know. I hope he finds our next Pope.
Or is the next Pope. As we know, they can make it really anybody. And I think PJ would crush it. Thank you so much, Casey. Go follow her again on Twitter at The Sports Case, K-A-S-E, host and reporter at Nesson. That was Talking Hockey. That was everything you need to know on the ice. We now, on the Glasser guest line, move it over to the pitch and to the links as we welcome in Nick Henyon to the program. He is a frequent friend of the program as well. Nick, thanks for coming on. Jake Hassan with you. Excited to break down. We got some good games today and tomorrow and for the weekend on the pitch. We'll start there, but thanks for coming on, man.
Appreciate you having me back, Jake. Good to be with you.
So, like I said, let's just start with the soccer, with the footy, if you will. We have one Champions League game today and one tomorrow, and we'll start with today's matchup. Inter and Barcelona, and a tied series to determine who goes on to the final. Inter plus 165 right now, totals 3.5. Just break this down for us a little bit. Tell us what you're looking for in this final game and who you think comes out of it.
It's a really interesting game to handicap. And the first thing I should note is that there was a big move to Inter overnight. On Monday evening, they were priced around plus 200 on the three-way money line, now down to plus 165. There's no chance you're going to get me to back a side in either of these games. I'm not going to lay it with Barcelona as a road favorite after they shipped three goals at home to a really good Inter attack. I'm also not going to take Inter as a home dog because they've run super lucky in their last three Champions League games against Barcelona as well as Bayern Munich. If you look at the game in Catalonia on the first leg, Inter managed to draw in that game, but post-shot expected goals rated it as a Barcelona victory by about 0.8 post-shot XG. So Barcelona did carry a little bit of an edge from a metric standpoint. I think if you want to look at this match, really the only kind of confidence I have is to use both teams to score as a parlay piece. It's pretty juicy already at minus 235, but I think there are some legs over the weekend in the Premier League that you could use to potentially bring that down. I'm thinking about Manchester City in the first half against Southampton, as well as both teams to score today, but I really don't have a strong read on this game. If there was an individual market I would look at, I might consider something like Inter team total over 1.5. Barcelona has allowed two or more goals in all but one of their Champions League trips this season. And I think you've seen the success of the Inter attack despite their lucky results in the last three games. They've still managed some good attacking numbers. So that's what I would be looking at today.
Nick, would there be a point in this game, even if you don't want to bet it before the match, if you were watching this game, and presumably you will be, but for those of us who are watching live, is there a point where you would jump in live if there's something that you might, that you see, or a point where you're watching this match, you say, okay, that's going to make me want to jump in on Inter or Barcelona, or are you just away on the side completely and you're just going to say, nope, I'll just take the team totals or the shots and that's good enough for me?
It's an interesting question. I would almost look to see what Inter's approach is in the first 30 minutes, because if you looked at their second leg against Bayern Munich at home, granted, they came back home to Italy with a lead from their first leg in Germany, so it played a little bit differently, but the first half was super uneventful for Inter. I don't know if that changes much, given they're coming back level instead of having a one-goal advantage, but the second half was wide open. The second leg in that game finished 2-2. All four goals came in the second half. If you're looking at a live betting standpoint, I would almost consider taking a look at live over at halftime, maybe, depending on what the score is. Barcelona has proven that they are really good from behind. So if you see Inter come out, they scored in the first minute in Barcelona, 2-0 by the 21st minute. So if you see Inter carry a lead into that game, I think you might see Barcelona have some success in the second half, but it really depends on where the goals come from and which team scores them.
Let's talk about tomorrow's game, PSG Arsenal. PSG's up 1-0. They're +110 favorites. This total's at 2.5. Is it just right? Is it just PSG? I mean, they're the favorites to win right now at about +210. But what do you think about this one? Is it just going to be PSG once again?
I'm not sure. I definitely lean that way, but +110 is a little bit rich for me to back a team when, again, they really only need to draw to advance. So you are giving up one of their negative results in taking that bet. So if this drifts down to, let's say, like +130, +135, I might consider a look at PSG, but I do think this match is actually ripe for live betting. What you have seen from PSG, especially in their knockout round fixtures against these English sides, is they come out and just dominate the first 15 minutes. When they went to Anfield against Liverpool, that's the closest comparison to this Arsenal team. They were down 1-0 after the first leg, but they scored after 12 minutes and just kind of sat on it for the rest of the game. They conceded a lot of shots, but not very many of high quality to that Liverpool attack. And I think what you're going to see from PSG in this match is I think they're going to try to counterattack and get an early goal to push the advantage here. If PSG scores the first goal, I would consider taking a look at a live under in this game. If it's early enough, under 3.5, depending on where it comes, you're more likely to take under 2.5 live, because Arsenal just can't play from behind as an attack. They have such weakness in attack that it's just does not fit their style. The conversion of that is that Arsenal has been blowing leads a lot recently, excluding their match against Ipswich Town, their last four or five EPL matches, they've scored first and then just blown a lead out of nowhere in the second half. So if Arsenal comes out and gets the first goal, I might consider taking a look at PSG live to earn at least a draw in that. But you kind of have to monitor the live lines and see.
I want to hit you on EPL really quick for the weekend. You mentioned that you like as a couple parlay legs. Anything else you're eyeing for a couple days from now for the weekend with EPL?
Yeah, my favorite bet of the entire Premier League season is this weekend. It's a same game parlay of Brentford money line and their team total over 1.5 goals. They are invincible when they score two or more goals this season. They've played 15 games where they've scored at least two. 14 wins, one draw, no losses. The one draw came as home underdogs to Manchester City. I don't need to tell anyone that Ipswich Town is not on the level of Manchester City. So Brentford, they're 5-0 straight up against promoted teams this season. In those five matches, they've created 17 post-shot expected goals. Not only have they cleared 1.5 goals in all five, they've cleared 2.5 in all five. They have not dropped points in a match where they score three or more goals this year. Ipswich Town has already been relegated from the Premier League. Brentford is chasing a Europa Conference League spot, depending on the results of the FA Cup final. And I just think this is a great spot to back Brentford. I grabbed it at -115, and then I bet it again at -125. It's up to -130. It's good to -145 or -150 to me.
That's everything you need to know on the pitch with Nick Henyon, BetMGM senior writer. Follow him on Twitter at his name, Nick Henyon. Really quick, Nick, before we let you go, want to hit you on the Truist Championship in Philadelphia really quick. Rory McIlroy +450, your massive favorite here at BetMGM. Yeah. Then a steep drop off to the second favorite, Kyle Morikawa at 14-1, Justin Thomas and Xander Schauffele at 16-1. Any shots you're taking here, or is it just going to be Rory again and he looks to continue his hot streak, obviously following his win at Augusta?
Yeah, I will be taking a couple shots. I'll be quick here with the picks. You can find the analysis on the BetMGM blog where I take a look at all of these guys. But Xander Schauffele, 16-1. Patrick Cantlay at 18-1. Jordan Spieth at 28-1. Those would be the three guys I'd look at this week at Philly Cricket Club. But it looks like a pretty good Rory week. That's all I'm going to say. But those three guys jumped out to me on the odds board.
Really quick, Nick, in about 30 seconds or so, is there a chance Rory just goes nuclear here and we just see him rip off a bunch of wins, including in the major in a couple weeks in the PGA?
In a word, yes. I think once you have the monkey off your back with the pressure of the career Grand Slam, you're heading to Quail Hollow next week where he's already won four times in his career, and then you're going to Oakmont for the U.S. Open where it's basically how well can you drive it off the tee as the informer of success here. So, yes, you could very much see Rory McIlroy just go on an absolute tear and contend in pretty much every event he plays.
Nick Henyon, senior writer at BetMGM, getting you ready for everything soccer and golf. Appreciate it, Nick. Thank you very much.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jake.
That is Nick Henyon. Follow him on Twitter at his name, Nick Henyon. That does it for the Glasser guest line today. Now you get playoff Peach, or the playoff Hassan, as it were, for the last couple minutes here as we close out the first portion of the hour here on the BetMGM Network, which you can find on Twitter, on Twitch, at YouTube, at the BetMGM Network, or you could find me on Twitter at @Jake_Hassan, where I also tweet the show. And if you missed anything, send it in wherever you get your podcasts. How great would it be if Pope PJ returned to a bunch of five-star ratings and some lovely reviews on this program? I think it would be pretty great for him. Sean liked me saying Pope PJ, and we're going to run with that for the rest of the week. But for now, we get you ready for the playoff action that is happening tonight. And we start with the NBA playoffs, Pacers and Cavs tonight, game 2, after the Pacers stole game 1 from the Cavaliers. Cavs Once again, big favorites in this one. -9.5, and the total is massive at 229.5. Moneyline price, Pacers +310, Cavs -400. Pacers still dogs in the series as well at +180. And it looks like the Cavs are going to have Darius Garland back in this one. Apparently, he's been telling people that he's going to play and he's going to overcome this toe injury that has been bugging him. But the rest of the Cavs injury report basically has everybody else on it. So I don't know. I know I talked about yesterday the zigzag theory where we take the Cavs today after the Pacers stole game one. I still abide by this, but I'm going to go with Shawnee Sharpe's play. He put it in my brain yesterday and he put it in the chat just now. And I do agree with it. Cavs -2.5. In the first quarter. I think they're going to come out and make a statement pretty early in this game. But let's get to, and no offense to the Cavaliers or the Pacers, but the main event of tonight on the hardwood in the NBA. Warriors and Timberwolves, game one of this series tonight. Timberwolves -7.5, totals 209.5. Warriors +230 on the money line. Series price has the Warriors at +150. And I don't know how you don't agree with it. The Timberwolves look awesome. I know it's Steph and it's Jimmy and it's Steve Kerr, but this Wolves team has the juice. They might arguably have the best player in the series with Anthony Edwards. I know all of the Steph fans are going to be really upset hearing that one, but argue with a wall. Look at what's happened in this playoff so far. And yeah, sure, we got two upsets yesterday with the Nuggets, cash, by the way, green check mark, money bag emoji, and the Knicks winning. But I think today you don't exactly see that. I'll take the Timberwolves in this one, and I have no problem laying the 7.5 with this team, especially we know how hobbled the Warriors are coming into this one with Jimmy and Steph dealing with their injuries. As far as the NHL goes tonight, I'll take the Capitals on the money line. I'll lean into the Team of Destiny thing that they got going on. And Alex Ovechkin, you heard Casey Hudson talk about it. Alex Ovechkin has more points against the Hurricanes than any team in the NHL. That sounds pretty good to me. As far as the Oilers and the Knights go, I agree with the price. I'll stay away from this one. I don't want to lay -135 with the Knights, but I do think that they win. That does it for the first portion of the Hassan Hour. Bet slips and bat flips coming up in just a second. Thank you to Casey Hudson. Thank you to Nick Henyon, our guests on the Glasser guest line today. They did a great job. Stick around on the BetMGM network. We're going to hit a quick break, if you will, which is really just the open playing for bet slips and bat flips. So in just about a minute, we'll be back to hit everything that you need for Major League Baseball and college baseball today. I am Jake Hassan. This has been Send It In. This is the BetMGM network. Stay wherever you are on YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter, because we're going to be gone for just a few seconds while this open plays and I take a drink of water, and then we get into everything on the diamond. See you in a second.
For bet slips and bat flips.
This is going to be unbelievable.
With your host, Jake Hassan.
And what do we do is better. Once everybody else likes something, you hate it. And that's exactly what happened with me.
We'll be betting K's and debating your plays.
No sweat. Have a fun time. Good luck out there. Do your best.
Play ball.
Hey, welcome back. The second half of the Hassan Hour. I am Jake Hassan, your host, at @Jake_Hassan on Twitter. And this is the BetMGM Network, which you can watch live on Twitch, on YouTube, on Twitter, at the BetMGM Network, on all of those platforms. If you missed this show live, or you missed the first portion of the hour, which was Send It In, hosted by, oh yeah, me, Jake Hassan, you can find those shows, Send It In, or Bet Slips and Bat Flips, wherever you get your podcasts, and we humbly accept and are gracious for your 5-star ratings and your reviews. And if you leave a 5-star rating with a review, we will read it on the show at some point. Date TBD, but we will get to it eventually. And we appreciate you joining in live as well. Get into the bettors box, send in your bets, send in your questions, send in your comments, anything that you have. The bettors box is open and is waiting for you to get in there and leave some knowledge, which we will talk about in just a few minutes. But as usual, here on Bet Slips and Bat Flips, we open the show with the one game that I absolutely love today. And man, was this a sweat yesterday. But we're going to run it back with the Padres on the money line. This is a pick with Michael King on the mound going against Clark Schmidt for the Yankees. And Schmidt hasn't been great this year for the Yankees. Fly ball pitcher. And I want to back Michael King and the Padres. Yes, it was a sweat to get there with the plus money money line on the Padres yesterday. But we got there. That's all that matters. It was infuriating for a while there, but Xander Bogaerts and Manny Machado come through a total meltdown in the eighth inning by the Yankees. And guess who? Devin Williams still hasn't figured it out. The Yankees need to ship him back to Milwaukee with a do not return to sender sticker attached because he has been absolutely atrocious for them. Puts Luke Weaver in a bad situation. He coughs up the lead and the Yankees, Yankees lose. And it was awesome because that put money in our pocket. And we are going to try and reel that back and run that back again today. I like Michael King. You guys know I think he can win the National League Cy Young, and I'll go against Clark Schmidt in this one. Not as good of a price as yesterday, but listen, even if Clark Schmidt holds down the fort, you get to go against that Yankee bullpen. You maybe see Devin Williams for a second time in 2 days. How do we all think that's going to go? So that's the one game I absolutely love today. Give me the Padres on the money line in that one. Let's now touch them all and get you updated on everything that you need to know, everything that you missed from the last 24 hours in baseball. And while we do that, reminder that while we're going through all these news and lineup updates, you can go, if you're watching live on Twitch, on YouTube, on Twitter, at the BetMGM Network, you can go to the Bettors Box and leave a comment, leave a question, leave a bet. And we will get to that right after we get through with all of these news stories and everything that you need to know. First thing that we're going to start with today, and man, the White Sox have been on a run in this portion of the show the last week or so, but on Odyssey Station, 670 The Score in Chicago, which is where I'm based right now, by the way, Bob Nightingale said that the White Sox are hoping to trade Luis Robert by Memorial Day, or otherwise known as the end of the month. And this makes sense. Robert has been stealing a ton of bases, been very productive for the White Sox. Maybe not as much as they had hoped when, you know, he first made his major league debut and looked like an MVP candidate for years to come, but still a very good player who has been on the trade block 4 years. And now the White Sox are hoping to actually ship him out and get some kind of prospect return for Luis Robert. I don't know what that'll look like. I don't know who's going to be willing to pony up the prospect package that the White Sox are maybe hoping for, but you get closer to the trade deadline and you're shopping players, you'll find somebody to take a high level player like Luis Robert. Who that'll be, I don't know. He's been linked to the Houston Astros before. Use other teams that are always in the market, like the Phillies, always looking to bring in outfielders. So we'll see. I'm sure he will end up on a contender at some point. An awards update for everybody. The AL and NL MVP polls, the first edition of them at least, have come out at MLB.com. Your results. Shocker in the American League, Aaron Judge is your far and away favorite. He sweeps the first place votes in the poll, of which there were 46. And, oh, by the way, he's your minus 1,000 favorite for AL MVP. Coming in second, Bobby Witt Jr., he's 10-1. Alex Bregman comes in third in this poll, which I think is maybe a little surprising, but he's played very well for the Red Sox. He is 66-1 to win American League MVP. Cal Raleigh of the Seattle Mariners comes in fourth at 125-1. And fifth is Jose Ramirez of the Cleveland Guardians. He is at 80-1 to win AL MVP. Not surprising here. It's just kind of Aaron Judge's award right now. Like, I've said this before on this show. I've said it on other shows on the network, whether that be Bet Sweats, which you can catch 9 to noon Eastern right here on the BetMGM network, or You Better You Bet, which you can catch 3 to 7 p.m. here on the BetMGM network. But it's the hit by bus factor already. I know that's crazy to say on May 6th, but right now, seemingly the only thing that could stop Aaron Judge from winning American League MVP is if he were hit by a bus. And this poll shows that swept the first place votes. So I would love to get a second place finisher or a AL MVP market without Aaron Judge, much like you see in golf, where it's winner without Scheffler or winner without Rory. But right now, this is just unsurprising. Aaron Judge is having a historic season, sitting above 400. And oh, by the way, he started hitting home runs regularly again after that kind of went away for a couple weeks. So this makes sense. Don't have to belabor the point here. What's much more interesting is the National League side of this market, and coming in first in the poll with not even the most first place votes, which is, again, speaks to how clustered this vote is, but Fernando Tatis Jr. comes in first in the National League side of the MVP vote at MLB.com. He is plus 500 to win the award right now. He gets 16 first place votes, comes in first in the poll itself. Coming in second in the voting is Pete Alonso, who led with the first place votes with 17, just one more than Fernando Tatis Jr. He's currently plus 650 to win National League MVP. And coming in third in this voting, in the NL MVP voting at MLB.com, is Shohei Ohtani, your favorite for NL MVP at 2-1 right now at BetMGM. He gets just 8 first place votes, comes in third overall, then followed by Kyle Tucker at 4-1 on the odds for first place votes in the poll. And then fifth is Corbin Carroll, also at 4-1. He received 0 first place votes in this. And I think this just speaks to how clustered NL MVP is. Shohei Ohtani is your favorite at 2-1, but comes in third in the poll and only gets 8 first place votes, significantly behind both Tatis and Alonso in this one. I think this race now is blown wide open. And we had been assuming this for a while, for a couple of weeks, but this poll tells you exactly what the voters are thinking, that this race is not just one guy. And I think, honestly, I would have loved to see this vote opened up even a couple more places to see who would come in 6th, 7th, 8th in this poll. And I gave out on this show Austin Riley a couple weeks ago, and there's still some very long numbers on him, and he continues to play very well, and I still stand by that bet. But right now, this is very clustered, and there's a lot of different ways that you can go. Credit to everyone that was betting Corbin Carroll before the year. Credit to everyone that was betting Nando before the year at about 10, 12, 15 to 1. I was too scared to go against Ohtani, but this just tells us what we've known for a couple of weeks. Shohei Ohtani is vulnerable for NL MVP, and you have to monitor guys that are playing well, and there's still some long prices out there that we can get, and maybe you just want to ride with a Fernando Tatis Jr., with a Pete Alonso. But man, I think this market is going to be very, very fun going forward for the rest of the year. Also, something that happened yesterday that has some awards implications. Cole Reagans makes his return last night versus the White Sox. He had missed a turn in the rotation. He had missed almost 2 weeks of action nursing an injury. And what did he do? Oh, 5 innings, no runs, 11 strikeouts. That's all. He dropped from 20-1 to 15-1 in American League Cy Young. And I still think that 15-1 is way wrong for a guy that was about half that price before he got injured. Cole Reagans, and granted, it's against the White Sox, it's a soft spot to return from injury, but I still think Cole Reagans very much has the upside. He was clearly dealing with that injury and the 2 starts that he had before he didn't go on the injured list, but before he missed his turn in the rotation, gave up a couple home runs, but still had the strikeouts. And so I think Cole Reagans at 15-1, I think that's a good bet if you have nothing in American League Cy Young, but we're going to keep rolling and rocking with our guy, Hunter Brown. Manifest. Let's keep it rolling. Long season, though. A lot of games left to be played. Somebody who will not be winning Cy Young, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but Shohei Minaga is officially placed on the 15-day injured list with a, quote, very mild hamstring strain. One thing about hamstring injuries, even if they're mild, they're pretty serious. And for a pitcher who, you know, has to use his whole body, especially his legs, to make a pitch, I think that Shohei Minaga, even when he comes back, this could be a little bit dicey. And the Cubs say they're optimistic, but acknowledged yesterday that he will likely be out longer than the 15 days because they want to make sure he's 100%. Cubs are still minus 275 to win the NL Central, 8-1 to win the National League, 20-1 to win the World Series. I'm willing to take shots against the Cubs. Said this yesterday. I think they're vulnerable. I think that rotation is vulnerable. As everybody in the Instagram comments on 670 The Score were very quick to tell me, oh, well, Tyone and Rhea and Boyd have been good so far. Yeah, so far. Look at the course of their careers individually. You think this is going to keep up? I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm betting against the Cubs today. How exactly I'm doing that, we'll get to when we get to the 7-minute stretch. But Cubs without Shohei Minaga for the foreseeable future. Somebody else that went on the injured list yesterday, Jesse Winker for the Mets. He's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks with an oblique injury. Brett Beatty was once again recalled from AAA for about the 75th time in his young career. Mets minus 135 still to win the NL East, plus 450 to win the National League. This isn't a huge deal for the Mets. They'll be fine. It's not like Alonso got hurt or Francisco Lindor got hurt. Winker is a good player, but he's not the main crux of their team. They'll be just fine without Jesse Winker going forward. Brett Boone was named the Rangers' new hitting coach. We talked about yesterday how the Rangers had fired their offensive coordinator, quote unquote, slash hitting coach. Brett Boone now is the new Rangers hitting coach. This is his first big league coaching gig. He played for manager Bruce Bochy with the Padres in 2000. And I don't know if this is going to turn the Rangers season around. They're currently 25th in slugging, 26th in batting average, 29th in runs scored. I think the biggest thing for the Rangers is getting Corey Seager back healthy. He had another hit yesterday, returned from the injured list over the weekend. They also recalled Evan Carter from the minors after he had an 800 OPS in his last 12 games in the minor leagues. I think it's just they need their star players to start to play like stars. And generally, the hitting coach is the first fall guy, the first scapegoat when things aren't going well. We'll see how it goes for Brett Boone. Maybe this is the start of a very illustrious coaching career that ends up with him as a manager. And then you have two Boone brothers as managers in Major League Baseball. Much to be seen, but still a lot of time for the Rangers to turn it around there as well. But now we go to the batter's box. We get to your comments, your questions, everything that you have and everything that you are betting in the better box today. And we appreciate your questions, your comments, your bets, as always, here on the BetMGM Network. On Bet Slips and Bat Flips, Monday through Friday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, usually, but for the rest of this week, 1 p.m. Eastern, as this will be the Hassan Hour, as I will be hosting Send It In as well, and you can interact live on that show as well, should you so choose. While we circle through guests and my playoff predictions and bets and things on the hardwood and on the ice as well. So the bettors box always open, mostly at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. But for the rest of this week, opens up at 1 p.m. Eastern on the BetMGM Network, Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, wherever you are watching there. And if you missed the live show, wherever you get your podcast, Send It In and Bet Slips and Bat Flips. We humbly request your 5-star reviews and your ratings, and we are very much thankful for that as well. But for now, we go to the bettors box. We get to your comments, your questions, your bets. Brian Giles says it's the Jake Hour. You are damn right it is, and it will be for the rest of the week. On this Tuesday, we also be here for the Jake Hassan Hour on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, also known as the rest of the week. And if PJ is indeed elected Pope, then who knows? Maybe it'll be the Hassan Hour in perpetuity. Pope PJ perpetuity. How's that for alliteration? Reed Phillips says, how silly is this play? Royals money line plus BWJ over 1.5 total bases. Bobby Witt Jr. got it. Plus Michael Garcia over 1.5 total bases. Plus Lugo over 4.5 Ks played at 7-1. Anytime you can fade the White Sox and find creative ways to do it, I'm never going to tell you not to do it. I am a little scared of Seth Lugo's Ks. That's the only thing. I know Reagan's racked up 11 in 5 innings yesterday, but I would just be cautious with that. Seth Lugo has good history versus the White Sox, but not the highest strikeout rate. And the White Sox, for all of their faults, they don't strike out a ton. I think yesterday's performance by Reagan's was more about him than about the White Sox. And like we talked about, the White Sox are a little bit, they're fun bad. They're not just bad like the Rockies. It's a silly play, but silly in a good way. I respect it. I'll sign off on that. Brian Giles also says, hello, I'm getting more excited for the College World Series. Can't wait for the bracket to fill in. I have tickets for 4 games as of now. That's awesome that you're going to those games. Very jealous of you. I, for one, hint, hint, wink, wink, to those watching who are in power here, would love to go to Omaha. Think it'd be really fun to do some content from Omaha, from the College World Series. Just saying. Could be kind of cool, but I am stoked for the College World Series. It's going to be awesome. We're holding some really fun tickets as far as the futures go on LSU and Arkansas and Oregon. And those all look like teams that are definitely Omaha threats. So very excited. And credit to you, Brian Giles, that you're going to a couple of those games. Going to be a very fun experience for you. Reed Phillips also says, fading Emerson Hancock under 17.5 outs at minus 130 and under 3.5 Ks at plus 115. I get it. I think that makes a lot of sense, especially pitching in Sacramento. I think Emerson Hancock is a good pitcher and will be good over the long run, but going to Sacramento, it's a park for a lot of runs. So I get fading him in that spot. And Reed Phillips also says, I wish I would have climbed that ladder higher than I did yesterday. Yeah. Right. I mean, I was saying that I was going to stay away from the ladders because it was a high number and I wasn't sure how long Reagans was going to be in the game. And he did only go five innings, but the power of Cole Reagans racks up 11 strikeouts anyway, and is now 15-1 for American League Cy Young, which I still think that number is probably too long for him. But listen, it's Cole Reagans. We'll have more opportunities to get the ladders on him going forward. Thank you all for your comments and your questions and your bets in the Bettors Box. It is always greatly appreciated. And again, you can jump in the Bettors Box anytime here on the BetMGM Network. Bet slips and bat flips, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, right here on the BetMGM Network, Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter. But now, speaking of the bets, we get to mine with this edition of the 7-minute stretch, and we get to all of the games. And we start with the starter spotlight. I kind of messed up the order of operations there. Usually we do this before we hit the music for 7-minute stretch. That's on me. That's my fault. But the starter spotlight, the starter who has the best matchup today, I'm going to go to a bet that we did a couple times last week and worked out for us because it cashed. So that's why we're going to run it back. Give me Zach Wheeler against the Rays. His ERA is still a little high on the surface, but he's pitched much better over the last couple of days, last couple of weeks. His last three starts, a 2.75 ERA and a 2.72 FIP. So Zach Wheeler starting to round into form here, and the Rays are the third worst offense over the last couple of weeks in baseball. Wheeler has good peripherals versus them. So give me the first three team total for the Rays under a half a run. Rays to not score in the first three innings, first time through the order, theoretically at least, for Zach Wheeler. I think he can have a good start to this. Good start to the start. Good job, Jake. Good start to the game against the Rays for Zach Wheeler, I think. Team total for the Rays, first three under a half a run. And now we get to the rest of the 7-minute stretch. Get to the rest of the games. Guardians and Nationals here. And this one, Sean hitting music again, is very funny. And I respect that. Guardians and Nationals, a game that is carried over from yesterday after it was rained out. It is the same pitching matchup, Luis Ortiz versus Jake Irvin. Still lean to the first five over and still lean to the Nationals in this one. But and postponement games, it just gets weird and you don't know where the focus is. So this one's just a stay away from me. I'll also stay away from the second game in this series, in this doubleheader. Ben Lively, you know, Blake's brother, going against Brad Lord in this one. Nationals minus 102, Guardians minus 188 in the second game of the doubleheader. Total will be at 9.5 in that one as well. Just going to stay away from this one, too. I don't like messing with doubleheaders as much in that one. If the Nationals win game one, I don't mind going with the Guardians in game two or vice versa, to be completely honest with you. But doubleheader game, stay away from me with Guardians and Nationals. Dodgers versus Marlins, totals 9.5 in this one. Marlins 2-1 home dogs in a rematch of a pitching matchup that we saw just last week with Tony Gonsolin and Cal Quantrill. Tony Gonsolin, still somebody to watch for NL Comeback Player of the Year, in my opinion. Pitched very well in his first start, his season debut against the Marlins, racked up 9 strikeouts. And as we know, Cal Quantrill, very, very terrible. I wouldn't hate the over in this game or the first five over if you really were fiending for a play in this one. But for me, just going to watch, see how Tony Gonsolin does. Maybe we'll be worth a bet for NL Comeback Player of the Year once it's all said and done. But, you know, I don't generally like backing another pitcher after he's seen a team back-to-back start. So I'm good on that one. Rangers and Red Sox, Nathan Eovaldi against Lucas Giolito and Boston in this one. Rangers are your road favorites. Minus 120, Red Sox even money, totals at 9. And I know we kind of slammed the Rangers and their offense, but with Nathan Eovaldi on the mound, I'll lay the minus 120 with the Rangers on the money line here. Seager's back, Evan Carter in the lineup today. He, like I said, 826 OPS for him in his last 12 games in the minors. And this is a fade of Lucas Giolito, who was okay in his first start for the Red Sox last week, but then did end up coughing up the lead at the end of that game, and he's not going to go deep in this game. So once you get to that Red Sox bullpen, which has been and I'll take Nathan Eovaldi, who has been excellent this year, as evidenced by his 2.11 ERA. Give me the Rangers on the money line in this one. Phillies and Rays, like I mentioned, nothing in the game except the starter spotlight. Give me the Rays team total, first three under a half a run. I also like the first five under 1.5 for the Rays team total, if you want to give yourself some cushion there. But I'll be backing Zach Wheeler in that one. Padres and Yankees, still give me the Padres. Give me them on the money line. Run it back from yesterday after the sweat that we had on that one. Reds and Braves, that bit didn't go great yesterday, fading the Braves after their Sunday night appearance. They shut out the Reds. Andrew Abbott, though, going against Chris Sale in this one. And Andrew Abbott's been good for the Reds, 2.84 ERA, but give me Austin Riley, our MVP candidate, the MVP of bet slips and bat flips, if you will. Give me Austin Riley over 1.5 total bases. You can get -110 on this. He has been on fire recently, and he torches lefties this year, hitting .333, .368, .667 against left-handed pitching this year, Austin Riley. So give me him over 1.5 total bases at just -110. Orioles and Twins, Maury's son, Cade Povich, going against Pablo Lopez. And I've said this before, I think Pablo Lopez might be my new Blake Snell. I know if I take the over on K's, he's going to get shelled and get exited from the game. But also, this Orioles team can't hit. Jackson Holliday's been better, but Adley Rutschman's on the back of a milk carton. He's in witness protection. Gunnar Henderson's just been fine. He hasn't done anything spectacular. So stay away from me. I don't really want to back the Orioles. I don't want to back Pablo Lopez. He's such a Jekyll and Hyde to me, at least. I'm good. And that one, White Sox and Royals, Seth Lugo on the mound for Kansas City. They are -220. White Sox +180. Total is at 8.5. Sean Burke, what a fall from grace for him with the White Sox, up to a 4.91 ERA. But Lugo, if you want to take him to record a win at plus money, I like that look. The Royals should win this game. And I know some of you in the chat are backing Lugo and backing the Royals. He's been good after a rough start, and the Royals have been playing really, really good baseball. So if you want to find some ways, some different ways to parlay and correlate the Royals to win against the White Sox, I do like that look for you there. Astros and Brewers, Hayden Wesneski versus Chad Patrick. Chad Patrick's been really good. He's got a 2.87 ERA. I do think there's a regression coming, but I don't think it'll be with Hayden Wesneski going on the mound for the Astros. So again, I know this is lame, but a stay away for me. I lean towards the Brewers, but I don't feel super confident in that. So stay away for me and Astros and Brewers. A game that I do finally have a bet in, Giants and Cubs. Total is at 8. Cubs -160 with Colin Rea on the mound going against Justin Verlander. And I am going to take the Giants on the money line here. I think this is way too big of a price for a Giants team that is good, for a team that has won 3 straight. And I don't think that Colin Rea can possibly keep up this start. A 1.46 ERA for journeyman pitcher Colin Rea. I just don't think that that's going to be the case forever. And even if he does continue to pitch well, you get a shot at that Cubs bullpen. And what do we always say on this show? No Cubs full game money line, because I'm not even pointing at the sign. There we go. Cubs bullpen is terrible. They can't hold a lead. They're not very good. So I will take the Giants on the money line. Justin Verlander has pitched better in his last couple of starts as well. We do have a comment from Moist Cupcakes 11. He got Nico Horner over 1.5 hits, runs, RBI today, 3-for-3 in his career versus Verlander. He got it at -125, might be juicier. I like that look. Horner's played well so far, and if he has good numbers against Verlander, Verlander's given up hits even though he's been better. So I like that look for you, but I'm going to take the Giants on the money line in this one. I will fade Colin Rea, and I will just take the better team. The Giants are the better team in this scenario with Verlander, and who knows, maybe he dials it back and turns back the clock in this one. Pirates -120 versus Cardinals at even money, totals at 7, and I know what everyone's going to say. Get Paul Skeens at just -120? Really? Against Matthew Liberatore? Listen, I don't want to go against Skeens. But in the 6 times that Paul Skeens has recorded and been saddled with the loss as the decision, Three of those times have been against the Cardinals. For whatever reason, St. Louis just has his number. Now, the important thing to note is that Paul Skeens is in a bounce back spot after he got torched by the Cubs and gave up three home runs in one inning to the Chicago Cubs. So Paul Skeens in a bounce back spot is a little scary to me, but also the Pirates can't hit. They're one of the worst offensive teams in the league. So if anything for me, I would be taking the Cardinals in this spot. Matthew Liberatore has been solid. The Pirates are bad against left-handed pitching. And the Pirates blew the game yesterday, too. Their bullpen's terrible. So Paul Skeens in a bounce-back spot does scare me. And I get that minus 120. How often can you say you get that with Paul Skeens? I would only bet the Cardinals here. And maybe I'm the idiot. But I'm definitely an idiot for this next bet. Tigers and Rockies. Rockies plus 145 in Colorado. Totals 9.5. Jackson Jobe against Chase Dolander. God help me. I'm taking the Rockies on the first five money line. Jackson Jobe has never pitched in Colorado, never pitched at altitude. Chase Dolander was very, very good in his last start against Atlanta at home. I think he's starting to evolve and figure it out. So makes me sick, and I'm going to move on quickly after this so I don't throw up on air. First five, Rockies, money line. Let's give it a shot. Blue Jays and Angels. Angels minus 105 at home. Blue Jays minus 115. Totals at 9. I would only bet the Angels on the side here because Jose Urania is going for the Blue Jays. Never in life. But give me Dalton Varsho. Over 1.5 total bases. There's a 2-1 out there. Three hits in his first 14 ABs of the year. Two of them have been homers, though. And he has very good history against Tyler Anderson. 7-for-12 with three doubles and a home run. Mets and Diamondbacks. David Peterson versus Zach Gallen. Would only bet the Diamondbacks here, but we used it yesterday with the Mets on the money line, minus 105. Peterson's been good. Would probably only go the Mets. Mariners and A's, nothing in this one for me. A little bit of interest in the A's on the money line, but if anything, would only be the first five over once again after that got home for us yesterday. In the last minute here, the bets for today in the walk-off. Rangers on the money line, Rays first five under 1.5 and first three under 1.5. Padres on the money line, Austin Riley over 1.5 total bases, Giants money line, Rockies first five money line, Dalton Varsho over 1.5 total bases, and the Jakey Rakes just for funsies home run play of the day. Give me Corey Seager at 4-1. He hasn't hit one yet. It's a Tuesday, and his return from injury, that is. It's a Tuesday. Give me Corey Seager. He has good history against Lucas Giolito, 3-for-10 with a double and a home run, and Giolito kind of stinks. That does it for the Hassan Hour. That does it for Send It In and Bet Slips and Bat Flips.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.